So several years ago, the Wham-O Corporation, the corporation that makes Frisbees, donated a truckload of Frisbees to an orphanage in Angola. And they hoped to bring a little joy to the orphans that were part of this orphanage in Angola. And a few months after their donation, they received a letter from the director thanking them for the plastic plates that they sent to the orphanage. And the director assured the Wham-O Corporation that the children were now eating all of their meals on the plastic plates, and that the children were now finding other uses for the plates, like catching fish and carrying things. It seems as if the kids in the orphanage were using the donated Frisbees for everything except the purpose for which they were created in the first place. And you know, sometimes that happens with churches as well. People have all kinds of expectations that they envision of what a church should be. Some people see a church as a social club, as a place to meet people. Others as a business networking center. Others as a place to make friends. Others as a matchmaking organization. Others as a political action group or a school. And the list goes on and on. But for a church to truly be what Jesus intended the church to be, we have to know the purpose for which he created the church in the first place. And that's what a church's mission statement does. It reminds us why we exist amid all of the various things that we do as a congregation. Now, our previous mission statement was written back in 1999. And a couple of months ago, I had lunch with our pastor emeritus, Walter Ray, to talk about that mission statement. And if you've been around a while, you know that Walter was Glen Kirk's pastor from 1970 to 2001, during a time of unprecedented growth and outreach at Glen Kirk. And so over lunch, Walter shared with me the process they went through to draft that mission statement, which is leading uncommitted people to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And that mission has served Glen Kirk well over the last 20 years. But sometimes it's good for a church's leaders to look to the Bible with fresh eyes, to seek God in prayer once again, and to seek God's direction to restate the church's mission to renew our sense of purpose, of why we exist amid all the things that we do. And so our pastors and our elders that were active on session felt like this was the time to go through that process. And there are four distinct aspects to this updated mission statement that I want to talk about tonight. And I guess handing out the shirts beforehand, you already know what they are. But I'm going to talk about the first aspect now for a few minutes. Then we'll have a time of music worship. Following that, I'm going to talk about two more aspects of it. Then we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And then finally, I'll talk about the fourth aspect before we are sent out into the world to live as Jesus' church. So the first part of our new mission statement is worship. We are a worshiping community. Glen Kirk is first and foremost a church, or as the old Scottish word puts it, a kirk. In fact, that's what Glen Kirk means. Glen Church, or Church on the Glen. And so I guess you could say that our name is Glen Church Church for emphasis, so we don't forget it. And our English word church comes from a word that means belonging to the Lord. As a church, as a kirk, Glen Kirk belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we dare not ever forget it. Glen Kirk does not belong to its pastors, or to its elders or deacons, or even to its covenant partners, what we call our members. Glen Kirk belongs to Jesus. And as a church that belongs to Jesus, that means that first and foremost, we are a worshiping community. We are not primarily a social club, although we enjoy each other. We are not primarily a school, although we learn. We are not primarily a social service agency, although we do good in the community. We are a worshiping community that worships the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Bible often uses the picture of a temple to describe the church, to remind us of this reality, that we are a worshiping community. We see this temple imagery in Romans 12:1, very familiar passage where Paul says, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice," like we're in a temple, "holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." We see it in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, when the Apostle Peter writes, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, into a temple, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God in Jesus Christ." We are a church that belongs to Jesus. We are a worshiping community. And I believe that when we gather together, like we are doing tonight, that the boundary between heaven and earth interlocks and overlays each other in a very profound way. The ancient Celtic Christians in Ireland used to call it thin space. Those moments in time when the reality of heaven and the reality of our world grows thin. And I believe that happens every time we gather to worship. Every time we gather to worship, we join in with what the book of Revelation describes, is telling us is already happening in heaven with all of the angels and with all of God's people who have gone before us. Each of our worship gatherings joins a worship service that is already in session. And that's why when we worship, we're changed, because we encounter the eternal. We encounter the God who created us. Years ago in the church that I pastored, this couple came to our Easter services. And the way they introduced themselves to me is, "The first thing you need to know about us is that we are atheists. And that's not going to change." You see, they were both atheists and they came from a family of atheists. But they heard about our church Easter services from an ad we ran in the local movie theater. And their two daughters have been asking them questions about religion that they felt ill-equipped to answer. And so they came that Easter Sunday, and they began coming every Sunday to our services after that. And as they did, as God's people lifted up their hearts in praise and worship, and as they listened to Bible-based sermons, they began to experience a spiritual reality that they didn't quite understand. And it was unexpected to them, that they'd never experienced before. And after several months, that entire family came to faith in Jesus. And they're still part of that church to this day. Through the years, I've encountered many, many people who encountered God in surprising ways, just when we gather and worship. Because worshiping together is at the heart of who we are. We worship when we gather. We worship when, as we gather, we lift up our lives to God and our praises to God in music and song. We worship when we hear God's word read and taught. We worship when we celebrate the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper together. We worship when we ordain pastors and when we ordain elders and deacons, as we've done this morning. And we worship when we are sent out into the world with God's blessing to be His body. So rather than keeping on talking about it, let's actually do it for a little while as we enter into a time of music worship. So let's stand as Eric and the music worship team come up. If worship was the first word, the second word is invite. We want to invite everyone to follow Jesus. You know, Glen Kirk is not a niche church. A congregation that only focuses on reaching particular groups of people to the exclusion of others. There are lots of great niche ministries out there. Many of them do great work. I think works like InterVarsity and Crew that work on college campuses, or the Navigators that works with people in the military, or World Vision on working with children in poverty. And some churches are niche churches too. They just focus on reaching younger people or reaching people in the entertainment industry. Some churches limit their focus to particular cultural groups or ethnic groups. But Glenkirk is not that kind of church. We would invite everyone who will listen to follow Jesus, to join in the journey of trusting in Jesus and following him. Everyone in our community, from Glendora to Laverne, from San Dimas to Azusa, from Covina to Duarte, people in other parts of our country, like an Indian reservation in Chinle, Arizona, or college campuses in LA or in Colorado as we work with ministry partners. Throughout the world, in places like Haiti and Mexico, Germany and Kenya, again, through the care and work of our ministry partners that are part of this congregation extending its reach. One of my favorite verses about this is 2 Corinthians 5:20. Where Paul says that we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Paul's appeal was to everyone around him, everyone he encountered. And as your senior pastor, I constantly pray that everything about Glenkirk is an invitation to follow Jesus. Our words, our way of life, the agenda of our session meetings, our budget, our decisions, our programs. You see, we don't make people become Christians through our own efforts. Our Reformed tradition, our Reformed theological tradition reminds us that ultimately, God is the one who does the work of bringing people to Jesus. Jesus said no one can come to him unless God the Father draws that person. Our role is to not do that work, but to invite, to proclaim, to announce, and to share the good news that God has given us to share. And God promises that he will work through our proclamation, through our invitation. By including the word invite in our mission statement, we hope that God will continue to create a culture of invitation at Glenkirk. I was thinking about this word at our welcome seminar last Sunday night. It was encouraging to hear new people who've come to Glenkirk in just the last couple of months and how they came to Glenkirk. Some said it was Glenkirk's ministry to kids and Glenkirk's ministry to students over the past few months that has brought them. For two people, it was a personal invitation from a member at Glenkirk. One family was walking their dog and walked by the campus and felt God prompting them to visit. At our last Belong class, two people said they ended up at Glenkirk because they came to the rummage people, and people working the rummage sale invited them to come from the rummage sale. All of these examples of a culture of invitation. From our ministry to kids and to students, to our location in the community, from our members reaching out to neighbors and friends, to ministry events. A culture of invitation means that we live our lives in a way that invite people. A culture of invitation means that we believe that God is really working among us as a congregation. And so we're not afraid to invite friends and family and neighbors to join us, especially at pivotal times of the year, times of the season, like when people are in crisis or during the Christmas season or Easter season or VBS. Glenkirk is a worshiping community, a worshiping community that invites everyone that we come in contact with to follow Jesus. The third word is the word become. Become. That we are joining in the journey of becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus. Every Christian is somewhere in that journey of becoming as they journey towards transformation to be like Jesus. And the truth is none of us have arrived in that journey yet. When we come to faith in Jesus, it is just the beginning of the journey. It's not the end. It's just the beginning. One of my favorite verses out of this is also out of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And there Paul writes that we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. As we gaze on the Lord Jesus Christ, as we go about our lives together, God's Spirit is working for us to become more and more like Him. And this means that none of us has arrived. I want Glenkirk to be a place where we don't have to pretend that we're perfect. A place where we don't just highlight the people who are living in victory and whose life seems to be all together. A place where we can be real and honest with one another, with our struggles and flaws. A place where it's okay to admit that our lives can be messy sometimes. After one of my sermons in 1 John, someone in our congregation in their 70s came up to me and said, "I realize today that I may be in my 70s, but I am just a child spiritually." And I thought what courage it took for them to not only come to that, but to verbalize it to someone else. Back in chapter 2 of 1 John, in this series we've been in, we talked about stages of faith, and we talked about spiritual childhood and spiritual young adulthood, and then that transition into spiritual later adulthood. And I told you on that Sunday morning that I had yet to find a congregation that I think effectively ministers to people in all of those stages, but I think I found that congregation, because I think Glenkirk can be that kind of place. In one of the churches I pastored, we had this guy show up who was a professional rodeo bull rider. He'd been injured while riding a bull, which, yeah. And during his recovery, he developed an opioid addiction to pain medication. And he came to our church as part of his recovery from his addiction. And we saw God do some amazing things in this man's life and in his family. And I remember one Sunday morning in particular, he walked in late with his family in tow, and he was wearing his Budweiser King of Beers jacket with rodeo patches sewn onto the back of it. And as he marched up to the front row, the only seats that were open in that service, with his family in tow, I could sense some of the members of the congregation looking down their nose at him in judgment, with his noisy kids and his tacky beer jacket. And my heart broke, because I thought, if you only knew what God had been doing in this man's life, you would be looking at him with awe and gratitude and wonder at the amazing God that we serve. I want us to be a community of spiritual transformation, where people can find a place among us, no matter where they are in their journey, and where they don't have to pretend. We're a worshiping community, a community that invites everyone to join in the journey of becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. The final aspect of our mission statement is the word love. And I know we've talked about love a lot over the last 2 months in 1 John. Maybe it seems redundant to talk about it again, but I don't think we can talk about it too much. I'm reminded of 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. The more we grow in our devotion to Jesus, the more we learn to love people. The more we learn to love God, the larger our circle of love for others will become. Love for God means growing in loving people. Session had a great conversation about this part of our mission statement. Because at first we thought about saying loving God and loving each other. But then we were reminded that God calls our circle of love to be much larger than just inside Glenkirk, just each other. So then we thought about saying loving God and loving people. But then we were reminded of all those verses that talk about God's love for the world. That God not only loves individuals, He loves peoples and nations. and cultures. And that God also loves his creation that he made very good. Which is why the Bible teaches that God is not merely saving people, but God promises to remake the world one day, to transform it into a new heavens and a new earth, a new creation. This love for God's world as it's intended to be is part of our Reformed tradition. And so we settled on that phrase, loving God and loving his world. In fact, you could shorten our mission statement to just say that, called to love God and his world. Dream of Glenkirk being a church where that circle of who we love gets larger and larger. Because you already love each other well. You already love this community well. But there is always room for us to grow. Years ago, I coached my son's t-ball team. And on the team was a little girl whose dad, Kirk, was a parolee in the community. Kirk was covered in prison tattoos and white supremacist prison tattoos. And all the local cops knew who Kirk was. But Kirk's girlfriend came to each and every practice and every game their little girl played in. And so as it got closer to Easter, I invited Kirk and his family to our Easter services. And I'll never forget seeing Kirk, his girlfriend, and their little girl in her baseball jersey on Easter Sunday, walking up the church courtyard. And out of the corner of my eye, seeing Juan, who is a member of our church, and a lieutenant at the local police department, who knew Kirk well. And I could see Juan saw Kirk right when I saw Kirk, and he started walking over to him. And I thought, I wonder what this conversation's going to be like. But I was so proud of Juan because he walked up to Kirk, introduced Kirk to his own wife and his own daughter, and invited them to sit with him during the Easter service. He was growing in his love for what God loves. So there you have it. Worship, invite, become, and love. We are a worshiping community, inviting everyone to join in the journey of becoming fully devoted followers of Christ, loving God and his world. And if that's too long, it was written by a committee, after all. Just remember those words, worship, invite, become, and love. And so as I sat with Pastor Walter Ray, our pastor emeritus, over lunch, I shared this updated mission statement. I printed it up for him, and I slid it across the table, and Walter said, yep, that's Glenkirk. You see, the words may be updated, but this is not new for us. Pastor Betsy, who couldn't be here tonight, was an integral part of this process. You know, I think that she collected all of Glenkirk's mission statements from the last 40 years and brought them into my office. And as we looked at them together, these elements are not new. They fit well within our story over the last 64 years. But just as importantly, it will give us a laser focus for our future. As we find new ways to live out our mission, to be a worshiping community, to invite everyone to follow Jesus, and to become more fully devoted in following Jesus in our own lives, and loving God, and loving his world.